It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
This is Dane Wigington, the Global Alert News commercial-free news hour, the news that no one wants to hear, but we all need to know, begins now. Yet another week in the asylum has come and gone, the planetary asylum that we find ourselves prisoners in. Planet Earth and the entire web of life, including every one of us, are quite literally under siege in countless forms. The ongoing global climate engineering weather warfare assault being by far the most visible form. And even now, very few of the inhabitants in industrialized countries have any idea whatsoever about the gravity and immediacy of what's unfolding around us. Question, how is it possible that conditions that are so obvious and inarguable are so invisible to so many? From Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, this statement: none are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depth of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehoods till wrong looks like right in their eyes. How true that is. How many people parrot official narratives with their knee-jerk reactions without any clue of the subject matter at hand? How often is the, quote, conspiracy theory term thrown around by people that have absolutely no idea of the subject matter or the facts that they are unaware of? We truly live in a planetary asylum. Now let's consider this 2,000-year-old but timeless quote from Flavius Josephus. Quote, men perish by those miseries which they madly and voluntarily bring upon themselves. Remember that quote, because the human race hasn't just shot themselves in the foot. Collectively, we've shot ourselves in the head, and we continue to pull the trigger until apparently the magazine of bullets runs dry. There is no stopping what's coming. Perhaps we can salvage some part of Earth's life support systems. That remains to be seen, and it depends on what all of us collectively do or don't do. So follow me through with the headlines I will cover in this broadcast, and please don't believe any of them. Please research it yourself and find out what you didn't know and what mainstream media certainly wasn't willing to tell you. The criminal structure that runs governments, prints money, controls media, controls public opinion, manipulates public opinion, manipulates public consent. We are truly in a dark place. We, all of us, are being assaulted in more ways than we can ever truly know. But there are many forms of this assault that there is no excuse for not knowing. The 5G madness that continues to proliferate, fluoridated water, GMO foods, vaccinations, chemicals, countless unfolding nuclear nightmares, climate engineering, etc. And about these last two forms of planetary assault, in addition to the Fukushima triple reactor nuclear meltdown nightmare with no end in sight and no technology to fix it. And there's over 400 more nuclear power plants that are likely to melt down at some point in the not very distant future. It's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. As grids shut down around the globe from global collapse, these plants will go into meltdown. It takes about 20 years to cold shut down a plant. That's not going to happen. So we have truly painted ourselves into an unimaginably dark corner, and that's not taking into account that the rest of the biosphere is already collapsing, along with the climate, with climate engineering further fueling all of it. But before I diverge from the subject at hand of the nuclear nightmare, the nightmare that continues to give forever, here's a headline example from last week we should consider. As an example, again, from the LA Times and numerous other sources, how the U.S. betrayed the Marshall Islands, kindling the next nuclear disaster. And please remember, this is only one example, one of many that are beginning to rear their head finally while the public sleeps. 5,000 miles west of Los Angeles and 500 miles north of the equator on a far-flung spit of white coral sand in the Central Pacific, a massive aging and weathered concrete dome bobs up and down with the tide. Here in the Marshall Islands, The Runet Dome holds more than 3.1 million cubic feet, or 35 Olympic-sized swimming pools, of U.S.-produced radioactive soil and debris, including lethal amounts of plutonium. Nowhere else has the United States saddled another country with so much of its nuclear waste, although we've saddled lots of other countries with lesser amounts of nuclear waste, a product of its Cold War atomic testing programs. Before I forget, depleted uranium in our ammunition, which we spread in multiple places around the world, leaving them radioactive forever. Another subject. I want to stick to this one. Between 1946 and 1958, the United States detonated 67 nuclear bombs in and above the Marshall Islands, vaporizing whole islands, carving craters into its shallow lagoons, and exiling hundreds of people from their homes. Later, U.S. authorities attempted to clean up contaminated soil on Inuwatuk Atoll, where the United States not only detonated the bulk of its weapons tests, but, as the Times has learned, also conducted a dozen biological weapons tests and dumped 130 tons of soil from an irradiated Nevada testing site. Just haul all the radioactive waste somewhere else. It then deposited the atoll's most lethal debris and soil into the dome. Now the concrete coffin, which locals call, quote, the tomb, is at risk of collapsing. No risk, it's going to happen. From rising seas and other effects of climate change, tides are creeping up its sides, advancing higher every year as distant glaciers melt and oceans rise. Officials in the Marshall Islands have lobbied the U.S. government for help, but the American officials have declined, saying that the dome is on Marshallese land and therefore the responsibility of the Marshallese government. Think about that. How completely criminal is this behavior? We dump our nuclear waste there. We blow up their islands. We contaminate their once incredible paradise with our insane experiments. And then we say it's their responsibility to clean it up. That's what our government does all over the globe. Not a fan of other governments, but how can we point a finger at them again when our government is doing what it's doing? And let's not forget the U.S. nuclear waste dump on Greenland that's now thawing out and releasing its gift to the world forever. And this, let's consider and remember that the U.S. military is the biggest and worst single-source polluter on the planet. And again, my criticism of the U.S. government and military does not mean I'm a fan of other governments. Of course, I am not. All are criminally corrupt. But I will state again, how can we point the finger at other countries when our own government and military are permanently trashing the planet on such a scale? And along with the health of the planet, so goes our health. Our government and others around the globe have made a world so toxic, our air column so toxic, our food so toxic, our water so toxic, that it has permanently compromised all of our health, irreparably. None of us will ever know how healthy we might have been if not swimming in this sea of contamination. In regards to contamination and not being able to avoid it, what's the single most important aspect of life for us? We have to breathe. We must breathe. If we can't, we live a matter of minutes, and that's it. But if we are forced to inhale toxic particles with every breath we take, how are we to live for very long? We have peer-reviewed studies to prove now that human hearts and brains are now completely saturated with billions of nanoparticulates, toxic heavy metals, polymers. And this is not just pollution. It's not just pollution. Many of these particle elements match climate engineering patents exactly. And while we're trying to expose this insanity in our skies that the public has chosen to ignore what they see with their own eyes and believe official narratives, all this material is raining down on us, and social media, again, trying to censor anybody who dares to tell the truth. When we look at the sky and we see on and off sprayed particulate trails with patents that go back almost 100 years, who could possibly think that we are looking at condensation? Condensation doesn't behave as what we see in our sky is doing. The entire horizon often blotted out with dirty, hazy, cobweb-like filth. This is a particulate dispersion from climate engineering aircraft. We have the film footage to prove it. We have photographs of the nozzles to prove it. We have photographs of plane interiors to prove it. We have government documents to prove it. We have Senate documents to prove it. And we have the whole climate science community saying that we must geoengineering right now to avoid climate cataclysm. I'm not denying climate cataclysm. It's here. And it's not global warming. It's far worse. It's an abrupt climate collapse. But how can we not wonder at the total betrayal of the climate science community when they say, when we climate engineer, it will look exactly like what we see in the sky, but that's not what we're seeing. Total insanity. So let's ask this question. How dangerous are the climate engineering nanoparticulates of heavy metals and chemicals, which are, again, being inhaled with every breath we take? Consider this new report headlined, "Nanoparticles from Air Pollution Go Straight into Your Brain." Well, that's true. And we know from medical study that's true. These particles are so small, they pass right through the lung lining, straight into your bloodstream, cross the blood-brain barrier, and lodge in your brain. Is it any wonder that Alzheimer's and dementia are off the scales? Is it any wonder that many of us, most of us, are becoming more forgetful, less cognitively functional? Is it any wonder that IQs are dropping precipitously? In the U.S. alone, they've dropped 6 to 9 points. That's staggering. If it feels like you're not thinking clearly, it's only because you're not thinking clearly. And that is happening. There's a reason for that. Look up. Look up. Is pollution a part of the problem? Absolutely. Absolutely. We've put so much pollution in the air, it's mind-numbing. But the particle pollution, when we have programs that intentionally spray this into the sky as part of solar radiation management to block the sun, again, that's what brought me into this issue, blocking of the sun. My new off-grid solar home was not charging properly because the sun was being blocked from whatever these aircraft were emitting. As I began to test and find the exact elements named in climate engineering patents in my rain, which means it's in the air column, which means it's floating down from above, how could I not conclude that climate engineering had already been deployed? And the amount of escalation of these toxic particles in my rain was staggering. From an initial rain test that revealed 7 parts per billion of aluminum, along with barium and strontium and other elements, subsequent tests over the next year showed that that aluminum content escalated nearly 50,000% in some rain events, nearly 3,450 parts per billion. That's highly toxic rain. What does one do rationally, logically, when these elements, again, match climate engineering patents exactly? When the solar obscuration, the blocking of the sun, matches climate engineering, solar radiation management patents exactly? When we have film footage of, again, them turning on and off, photographs of nozzles, all the other data I mentioned earlier, all available at geoengineeringwatch.org, how does one not conclude that you're under assault from programs that have been launched by governments around the globe without public knowledge or consent, an experiment from which there is no return, and yet we still have the climate so-called science community pretending that if things get too bad, climate engineering might save us? Insanity. We live in an asylum. Climate engineering was deployed 70 years ago and has done nothing but wreak havoc on the planet. And it's not just climate engineering. It is absolutely positively weather warfare. It is weather warfare, period. It has been used as weather warfare. That's historical fact. I've been over that over and over. And now the U.S. population is absolutely under siege from weather warfare. It's inarguable if the data is examined. And how many are willing to wake up even at this late hour? How many are willing to wake up and face the fact that our current reality is unraveling by the day? We are under blatant, glaring, visible assault from the sky. Our precipitation being cut off in the case of California. Record snowstorms and record cold in other parts of the U.S., and I'll elaborate on that in great detail later in this broadcast. But we are quite literally under siege. The sooner we collectively face it and try to expose it and try to turn the tide, the greater our chances might be of salvaging something of Earth's life support systems, and that's worth fighting for. To those that are already awake and fighting this battle to expose the truth, thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to march with you in this effort. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global News Hour, episode number 223, November 16th, 2019. News that most, as I stated earlier, don't want to hear, but that we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. As always, this is a commercial-free News Hour frontline news broadcast brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org. paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 to 7. Sunday mornings, repeat broadcast, same time. Also, the PRN Radio Network East Coast, 2 p.m. on Wednesdays, broadcast this program. Other stations around the country have picked it up as well because we make it available for free. We want no monetization from this. We simply want to sound the alarm while we might have some chance of saving something. Recordings of the broadcast can also be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. We get many letters from many people that want to know how they can help. Sharing credible printed data is exponentially more effective than anything that can be verbally conveyed. People tend to shut down when you rant at them, and it's hard not to rant if you know the truth. I understand that. It's very hard when you're literally seeing the implosion of the web of life, the climate, everything that we hold dear. It's hard not to want to share that truth, but it must be done effectively and efficiently. Materials help, and you can print your own materials from our links, which we make available for free. Free downloadable links for our flyers, for our booklets. We encourage people to print as much as they want, so long as our materials are not being sold at a profit. And we make our materials available, again, for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. We only want to get them into circulation. But bottom line is, everyone is needed to help sound the alarm, and we don't have much time. Another way to help us sound the alarm is to attend Jim Fair events, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Jim Fair continues to be a very dedicated and valued ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. If you go to Jim Fair events, there's a geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth at these events. You can get free materials to help you to wake your circle of family and friends up. If you go to these events to get those materials, tell the Ticketmaster and they will let you in for free to get the materials. This week's event, Portland, Oregon, started yesterday, ends tomorrow. Oregon Convention Center, next week's Jim Fair event. Monterey, California, November 30th through December 1st, Monterey County Fairgrounds. Following week, Costa Mesa, California, December 6th through the 8th, the Orange County Fair and Event Center. Please, if you're near these events, show up, show your support, get the materials you need to help wake up your family and friends. Help us to sound the alarm. On to headlines and the state of the world. From Business Insider.com. And this plugs into the type of censorship I mentioned earlier. This new headline: climate groups can't run ads about global warming on Twitter, but ExxonMobil can. Not hard to see who's running the hen house here, is it? The foxes are. And that goes all the way to the top. And I'm sorry to say that even where the so-called major environmental groups are concerned, they also, in almost all cases, are being controlled. And that is why they will not address the climate engineering elephant in the sky. And the day is coming when this issue can no longer be hidden in plain sight. And how many journalists and how many environmental groups, environmental group leaders and administrators will have to face the fact that, one, either they were unbelievably ignorant of the environment in which they live and the skies above their head, or two, they were lying and thus denied the climate engineering issue, avoiding it so they would protect their 501c3 nonprofit, and their true motives will be incredibly visible at that point, won't it? So, again, the criminal denial of climate engineering also includes so-called environmental groups who refuse to face this issue. From the San Francisco Chronicle, an acknowledgement of the increasingly devastating lack of rain in Northern California. I'm going to cover that to significant detail in this headline because it is also directly connected to the record cold in the eastern U.S. Here's the headline from the Chronicle. Quote, and we wait, period. 81% of California is, quote, abnormally dry as seasonal rains fail to materialize. Now consider, they call it abnormally dry, but follow me through with this. The report states it is among the driest starts to the wet season that San Francisco has seen in 170 years of record keeping. And from the report says this, Sacramento has seen 0.06 of an inch of rain since July 1st. That's about 3% of average for the period. Fresno hasn't even gotten enough rain to measure. And consider that yet officially the U.S. Drought Monitor still says there is no drought. For the record, official sources like the U.S. Drought Monitor are now nothing more than state-sponsored disinformation sources that are tasked with pacifying populations until total collapse occurs, which on the current course is not far off. It is far closer than almost any yet comprehend. So like the EPA and like other so-called public protection agencies, they are simply there to mask threats, not to disclose them. That is the absolute fact of the matter. GeoengineeringWatch.org has stated for over a decade that the climate engineers can and are controlling the flow of precipitation. We can speculate on the agendas, but the fact that climate engineering operations off the U.S. West Coast are completely cutting off the flow of precipitation into California, that is beyond dispute. Satellite images confirm this conclusion beyond any doubt. Proof can be examined in a post put up by GeoengineeringWatch.org yesterday, titled, quote, Engineering Climate Chaos. The once golden state that is now brown and burning is a victim of geoengineering operations that are nothing short of weather warfare. Search this title online as well. Quote, Engineered Drought Catastrophe Target California. This GeoengineeringWatch.org presentation will reflect the depth of coverage we have given to the cutting off of California's rain by climate engineering operations. This report also reflects the many years Geoengineering Watch has been desperately trying to expose the weather warfare being waged against California and indeed against the entire world. Where is California rain being diverted to? Engineered high pressure zones are forcing Pacific precipitation. These zones in the west are known as the Ridiculously Resilient Ridge. Again, that's covered in great depth in the report we posted yesterday, Engineering Climate Chaos. But these high-pressure ridges divert the moisture north through Alaska, warming Alaska, which our media is not covering, and then back down into the eastern U.S. As this atmospheric river migrates, it is bombarded with patented chemical ice nucleation elements, bombarded by the climate engineers and their seeding operations over this moisture. This creates a cold, dense layer of air that sinks to the surface. The result? Engineered winter events. Does this sound impossible? Only to those that have never taken the time to examine the data and the facts. Again, search the Engineering Winter section on the homepage of GeoengineeringWatch.org or check our latest post on this issue, as I stated earlier, titled Engineering Climate Chaos. And you can see satellite loops that we have captured showing inarguably, visibly, the massive grid pattern spraying off our coast that is part of the engineering of the high-pressure dome that blocks our rain. Look for yourself. Look at the data. And don't deny an issue that you have not legitimately investigated. On the subject of engineered winter weather chaos with patented processes of chemical ice nucleation, consider this new headline. France thrown into chaos, that word again, by first heavy snow. From that report, snow and ice and heavy rain have caused power outages to tens of thousands of homes in France. Authorities urge people to stay off the roads. Good to stay off the roads because the frozen precipitation contains surfactants, as I've been over in previous broadcasts. Surfactants are the same element in soap. And that is one of the primary reasons why snow now is so unbelievably slippery. It's not my theory. We've tested this precipitation. It has surfactants, urea, toxic heavy metals, polymers. Don't eat the snow. And I don't say that facetiously. And these snowstorms in the most populated regions, again, that helps to fuel the division and confusion on the true state of the climate while we just had the warmest October ever recorded. While we're ending 2019, which will be the end of a five-year period, that is by far, even with records being falsified to the downside, it's still by far the warmest five-year period ever recorded since record-keeping began. And we don't see any of that on the mainstream media, do we? We see cold, cold, cold from their engineered events while they ignore the overall state of the world. But that works. It's worked very well for most people who want to believe there's nothing wrong with the planet. They can fill up the Winnebago with 150 gallons of fuel and drive for Thanksgiving halfway across the country, and it's not hurting anything. Or those who deny the climate engineering issue, which tends to be a lot on the other side of the fence, even the environmentalist side of the fence, who apparently are only willing to face so much truth, but not the whole truth. And for those who continue to claim with these engineered winter events that this is something to do with the solar minimum, that's absolute nonsense. We know statistically, mathematically, scientifically, that even large solar minimums like the Maunder minimum only affected 0.25% of solar incoming solar thermal energy. 0.25%. That's 1/400th. It means virtually nothing against the backdrop of what we have done to the planet, from climate engineering to the buildup of greenhouse gases, which includes methane, nitrous oxide, all building up in our skies, holding in the heat. That's why nighttime low temperatures are rising twice as fast as daytime highs, unless you're in an engineered cool down region, which all bets are off there. That's an artificial scenario. But the bottom line is abrupt climate collapse right now. So for those who are grabbing at straws, trying to pretend that there's some sort of natural component to what's happening on our planet, that simply does not hold up to science, statistical data, reason, or logic. Again, it's like making the argument if you found a body in the street that had been run over, stabbed, shot, beaten, burned, and who knows what else, and then you try to claim that that individual died of a heart attack. You'd have a very hard time making that argument. No different with what's happening to our planet. It is not natural in any way, shape, or form. And again, about people, yes, they die, but if you shoot them in the head, they die much faster, and that's what we've done to the planet. The thermal energy buildup or heat accumulation that has occurred on our planet, much of it is not being calculated into even the what seem to be dire conclusions from many official sources. They are not calculating in the thermal energy buildup that has occurred in water bodies. And this dire component is being systematically omitted from the overall global warming, or i.e. abrupt climate collapse calculations. And to put this in perspective, again, I've stated this many times, but I want it to be remembered. A cubic meter of seawater can contain 4,000 times the thermal energy that a cubic meter of air can contain. Let's go back to the pot on your stove. If you put an empty pot on the stove, put a lid on it, and turn the gas on underneath it, that air inside will heat up immediately. But if you have a pot of water, icy water, or even with ice in that water, like we had with the poles, like we still have to a degree, but they're melting quickly, the energy absorption from that ice will keep that water from heating until that ice is gone. And once it's gone, the heating starts to go exponential. But it takes much, much longer. It takes much more heat to heat that water than it does air. And that's what's happening. And our oceans are now superheating. They're in free fall toward a state called Canfield Ocean, which means a lifeless, superheated, stratified, low to no oxygen ocean. Oceans die, we die. Very simple. In regards to the gases that are building up in our atmosphere, and gases that we release in the sky don't just float off into outer space. I think most people should know that. They stay there. And that's why, again, nighttime lows are rising twice as fast as daytime highs. Methane being one of the greatest threats we face. From the UK Guardian, this: methane emissions from coal mines could, there it is again, could stoke climate crisis, study says. And we need scientists to tell us this. And again, climate engineering making all of this worse. And I still hear from people who are trying to convince themselves that there's nothing wrong with the climate. And I hope they reconsider that position, because to take that position is to toe the line actually for the climate engineers, which many of these same people claim to be fighting. Climate's in total collapse. Climate engineering further fueling that process. Very simple, very inarguable, scientifically, statistically. So please consider the way you approach this fight if you want to be effective in it. So here we have another study from so-called scientists that claim that massive methane emissions from coal mines, which have been ignored. Let me read this from this report. Coal mines are belching millions of tons of methane into the atmosphere unchecked because policymakers, i.e. our governments, have overlooked the rising climate threat. Not overlooked, they've tried to hide it. According to new research, which is as bad, this methane emission is as bad as shipping and aviation emissions combined. It's not as bad as aviation when you consider climate engineering in that equation, which of course climate engineering aerosols are not being considered, and they also trap heat. And that's what's not being considered from all of academia when they try to push climate engineering. One, as if it's not been done for 70 years already. And two, as if it's some sort of a cure when it's anything but. Climate engineering is a certain death sentence. And if it continues much longer, we're going to find that out the hard way. So the bottom line, again, climate scientists telling us that if we fill the atmosphere with methane, which, by the way, over a 10-year time horizon is 100 to 120 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas, we could have a problem. And this is, again, part of the continued betrayal of the climate science community. I want to continue. I have lots of headlines to cover, and I'm asking people again to always abandon your preconceptions, your bias, your ideology, and all of us have those traits. We all do, but we have to get past that. We have to clear the lens through which we see the world, or we will not see clearly. And if we can't see clearly, we are not going to end up where we want to be, and we're headed to the wrong place at light speed right now. From Arctic News, this headline: Portents of continental scale fires as the earth warms. Excerpt from that report: the effects of encroaching deserts and of firestorms on terrestrial forests may have been underestimated. Could, may, might. How many times? When will the climate science community find their courage and tell the whole truth? Report continues: average global temperatures do not tell the whole story. That's very true. It is the increasingly frequent weather anomalies which do. Powerful psychological factors prevent many scientists from expressing their worst fears, a phenomenon dubbed as scientific reticence. Now, let's consider this exact author who wrote this, who should take a very long look in the mirror, who denies climate engineering and is accusing others of being in denial. We have that on an epic scale, absolutely epic. We must get past this. This is the single most destructive human activity of all, the climate engineering, aka weather and biological warfare assault. Those in power know the effects. They absolutely know. Those at the top. And for those who think that our governments wouldn't do this to us, they are. It's that simple. And there are many reasons why they are. Again, weather is a weapon. As we know all the way back from President Lyndon Johnson, then Vice President, at the start of every one of my weekly broadcast YouTube posts, ranting like a maniac, stating he who controls the weather controls the world. Controlling the weather is a weapon against populations. The fact that we are all getting sicker and dumber by the day also makes populations far easier to control. That's a fact. A fact that presidential advisors have admitted to. I've stated this over and over. Zygmunt Brzezinski stating on the record it's easier to kill a million people than to control them with today's technology. That's a fact. 5G being ramped up. What do we think that's for? That's a military crowd control technology or frequency, period. It is not being installed all over the world for the greater good. There are far more nefarious agendas being carried out. If you don't believe this, and I don't expect you to or ask you to, I'm asking you to investigate. And with all these headlines, yes, I sound passionate. I try to restrain that passion. But I ask this, after now 20 years of solid research and trudging forward in this trench, in this fight to try to wake populations up to what's unfolding before we actually hit the wall, which is perilously close, why wouldn't I be passionate about that? How can I not be passionate about that? How can I face my 14-year-old son and my 21-year-old daughter, or how can I face any creature in the forest or any tree or any other individual and not be passionate about that? When you know things are occurring that hold life on Earth in the balance in the very near term, how can one not be passionate about that? It would be irrational and illogical not to be passionate about that. How many people do we see jumping up and down for the latest football game, behaving as if their head's on fire? And that's okay. Our society accepts that. But if one appears a little too emotional about literally the end of the world as we know it in the very near term, perhaps the end of life on Earth, we may take the entire web of life down on Earth down with us on the current course. How is one to not be passionate about that? I ask that question. From grist.org, how humans kicked off the Pyrocene, a new age of fire. Again, no mention of climate engineering, which is in the case of the wildfires, climate engineering is by far the largest core causal factor. Not all the other completely baseless excuses given by official sources. From that report, the Amazon, Alaska, and of course California, more of the world going up in flames, and with climate change, that progression shows no sign of stopping. Are we reckoning with a new age of fire? Question mark. Is this the Pyrocene? Question mark. Climate engineering, single greatest causal factor with the fires. Cutting off precipitation to the U.S. West is one example. That's happening in other places around the globe, like Australia, like Spain, like Portugal. Lots of places where the precipitation is literally being cut off by climate engineering operations. Again, we can speculate about the agendas or motives, but the fact that it's happening, beyond dispute. Look at the data we have at geoengineeringwatch.org and see if you can refute that. You can't. Question. With things as bad as they are, and make no mistake, we are descending into abrupt climate collapse. Here's a question to ponder as I go through the rest of this program. Will triggering a nuclear winter be the final option of unimaginably desperate and dangerous power structures around the world? Will that be their final option? Because we've posted data at geoengineeringwatch.org, if you search the engineering wildfire section, that provide very compelling evidence that wildfires are actually being facilitated by climate engineering as a source of loading the atmosphere with sun-blocking particulates. And yes, this is science fact that, for example, completely off the scale northern latitude wildfires put so much particulates into the air, so much smoke that migrates toward the North Pole because of the Coriolis effect of the planet, that it actually provides significant temporary cooling of the Arctic. That's how desperate the climate engineers are. They're willing to incinerate what's left of Earth's forest to hide an imploding Arctic for as long as possible. Why is it so important to hide the imploding Arctic? Because once the polar ice is gone, we will have a completely different planet, one that will likely not be very hospitable to life. It will cause the methane release from thawing hydrate and clathrate deposits, methane hydrate and clathrate on the seafloor will cause that to go exponential. And we are there. It will likely happen next year. It has been strung along year after year from climate engineering and sea surface chemical ice nucleation, the blocking of the sun over the poles. But at what cost? Those temporary cooling measures come at the cost of a far worsened overall warming and a completely toxic planet. That is the legacy of climate engineering. From theconversation.com, this report, climate scientist states, quote, our profession is letting us down. We must change the way we approach the climate crisis. Yet more acknowledgement from the climate science community and much in the science community, period, in regard to the medical sciences community and so forth, all towing the line for incredibly dangerous practices by the human race, causing immense harm and suffering in the human community. And yet we have professionals in all these arenas lying, simply lying about the sources of those dangers from, again, vaccines, fluoridated water, GMO foods, climate engineering, radio frequency microwave broadcasts, wireless radiation like 5G. Legions of academicians have helped to systematically mask dire dangers on countless fronts from the public. And this fact can't be rationally argued. In regard to pressing public dangers, I want to go in again to the 5G issue, the threat from wireless radiation, and that is worsening by the day. The 5G assault will make the situation exponentially worse on top of all the wireless radiation we face right now, and the radiation from broadcasts, much of it to do with climate engineering, and I hope the people fighting wireless radiation focus on the broadcasts that are, or the transmissions that are part of climate engineering, which are immense with the power and scale that they are on. I hope that's incorporated into that equation by those groups. But in regard to 5G, let's consider this tweet from the president made earlier this year. He said this, I want 5G and even 6G technology in the United States as soon as possible. It is far more powerful, that's true, faster and smarter, depends on what you feel smart is, than the current standard. American companies must set up their efforts or get left behind. There is no reason that we should be lagging behind on inferring 5G. Now, with that push for 5G in mind, now consider this headline with, again, remembering the tweet I just covered from the president from KLY-TV. 5G is imposed on the people while government protects itself against it. Brussels, Belgium. There will be no 5G mobile communications in the capital of the European Union for the time being. The people of Brussels are no guinea pigs. This is a quote, by the way. The people of Brussels are no guinea pigs whose health I can sell for a profit. We cannot leave anything to doubt. This was said by the regional environmental minister. The rest of the world apparently is guinea pigs. Oh, wait. Except for Palm Beach, Florida, USA. Consider this. In the state of Florida, though a law has been passed that allows mobile operators to install 5G antennas anywhere without permission, Palm Beach, Florida, the residence of billionaire Bill Gates and U.S. President Donald Trump is an exception. There's a moratorium on the 5G there, still, for now. Think about that. And before I leave this issue behind, it seems there may be one more location that might have an exemption to 5G. Israel. Put all those dots together. Let's see how it all plays out. Moving on to more levels of insanity. From Reuters and other sources, Johnson & Johnson files for European approval of Ebola vaccine. From the report, Johnson & Johnson said it had filed for an approval from European regulators for its two-dose experimental vaccine, keep that word in mind, to protect against Ebola, less than a month after the agency recommended approval of Merck & Co.'s vaccine. Different company. Two Ebola vaccines. Consider there are countless accounts of flu vaccination recipients stating that the flu vaccine actually gave them the flu. Of course, official sources tried to deny this fact, but talk to one of the flu vaccine victims personally and then try to convince yourself that vaccines are safe. Better yet, talk to the parent of a child that is now condemned to a life of autism that was caused by a vaccine. And if this is not the truth, if this is not happening, then why have the vaccination manufacturers been given blanket legal immunity for over three decades from all the death and suffering their toxic brews cause? Why? When will the population wake up to the countless forms of assault that are being waged against populations and the web of life as we speak? And for those that ask, and many do, why would those in power want to, quote, destroy the world? That's not an objective. That's simply a consequence of insanity. It's a consequence. A cancer doesn't intend to kill its host, but the host dies because the cancer intends to proliferate at any cost. It will not stop proliferating. Same with those in power. They can never have enough. Eventually, the host dies. In this case, planet Earth and all of us with it. So, back to Ebola. How many are going to volunteer for that jab, I wonder? And on the subject of sick and dying, by the way, let's cover the collapsing economy. All the propaganda the power structure can produce won't hide the unfolding collapse for much longer. From BusinessInsider.com, this updated report, more than 9,100 stores are expected to close in 2019. That's in the U.S. Sears, Kmart, Party City, Walgreens, Barney's are among the retailers that have recently announced massive store closings. Charlotte Russe, Family Dollar, and Chico's announced more than 1,100 store closures just between those three entities in the span of 24 hours. Payless has said it plans to close all of its 2,500 stores in what could be the largest retail liquidation in history. Retailers closed a record of 102 million square feet of store space in 2017, then smashed that record in 2018 by closing another 155 million square feet, according to estimates by commercial real estate firm CoStar Group. That's a lot of square footage. And isn't it interesting people buy the, our economy is doing better than ever with closed stores everywhere? That is interesting to me. Believe the lie. Hide your head from the truth. That's what most choose to do. More headlines. Fiat Chrysler is trying to stuff dealer channels with over 40,000 cars that they can't sell. Let's cover more harbinger headlines of the coming collapse. American consumer comfort crashes most since Lehman. Other headline, how to plug big-time shortfalls in police and fire pension funds. Some cities are actually selling their infrastructure like sewer systems for big bucks. The whole pension system is a massive scheme that's being kept afloat by the Ponzi stock market scenario, and all of it will collapse with blinding speed soon enough. There is no other possibility. As the biosphere collapse, the card house of industrialized society will collapse with it, and that is close. Another headline, two surveys of global businesses slump to gloomiest level since recession. Another headline, next recession, Peter Schiff says U.S. will default on its national debt. It's not a recession, it's the end of the paradigm. Another headline, India's September industrial output falls at the fastest pace in 6 years. Another headline, Asian shares a sea of red as Hong Kong chaos hits sentiment. Another headline, investors, these are all from last week, by the way. Investors wary as social unrest spreads from Hong Kong to Santiago. Chaos unfolding all over the world because there's not enough to go around anymore. Another headline, global supply chains imploding as quarter of German firms plan to leave China. Another headline, officials are using the word, quote, disaster to describe the widespread crop failures happening all over America. It's not just all over America, it's all over the world. And climate engineering is a core part of it. That is not to deny anthropogenic damage to the planet. Not at all. Simply saying, can't have a legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering, aka weather warfare, first and foremost. Another headline. Farming in South Africa is under threat from, quote, climate change. No mention of climate engineering again. Another headline. At least 200 elephant deaths blamed on Zimbabwe drought. Droughts, single greatest causal factor, again, climate engineering. Planet atmosphere should hold 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. Data from the front lines indicates we are past 3.5 degrees C right now, no matter what we're being told. Should be much more overall rain on the planet. There isn't. Climate engineering is the reason why. Another headline, warmer temperatures to boost CO2 emissions from bacteria. Feedback loops being triggered, further fueling the warming. We're on track for Venus syndrome. Climate engineering, again, further fueling that fire. Another headline, plastic threads found in oysters and clams along Oregon coast. Plastic polymers, also used in climate engineering, not denying the other sources of plastics all over the globe deteriorating and circulating in the environment, but let's not ignore the climate engineering elephant in the sky. Another headline, unnoticed apocalypse, dying insects put humankind's existence at risk. The insects are imploding, and we have stated this for 10 years at Geoengineering Watch. Why did it take academia so long to catch up? Another headline, from Vanity Fair and other sources, President has a terrifying new plan to poison the air, water, and humans. From that report, the EPA has drafted a proposal that would all but make it impossible to enact public health regulations. More on this later in the broadcast. Stay tuned. From EcoWatch.com, U.S. annually uses 388 million pounds of potentially fatal pesticides that are banned in the European Union, China, and Brazil. That's pretty bad when the U.S. uses chemicals that are banned in China, isn't it? China that doesn't care much about the environment at all. We're behaving in the same way, or worse at times. From this report, many of these pesticides have been linked to acute poisoning in the U.S. and have been connected to lung damage, convulsions, respiratory failure, coma, and even death. And we're using 388 million pounds of them every year in the U.S. still. From the Japan Times, Japanese pearl industry rocked by 20 million oyster die-offs. Ocean is dying all over the world. Those who don't believe this yet, you will soon. Wait and see. A final statement from this report. It said this, the cause of the oyster die-offs was unclear. That's what academia in so many cases is paid to do, to not know, to not disclose, to not panic the public. Again, oceans dying all over the globe. More headlines of biosphere collapse from SciTech Daily and many other sources. Arctic shifts to carbon source. Stunning reversal after capturing carbon for tens of thousands of years. Trying to drive that point home. The current changes on our planet are happening at minimum, conservatively, statistically, mathematically, scientifically, 170 times faster than any previous paleo event on our planet. This is not natural. Nothing natural about it. From that report, the study published October 2019 in Nature Climate Change warns that winter carbon dioxide loss from the world's permafrost regions could increase by 41% over the next century if human-caused greenhouse gas emissions continue to rise at their current pace. Well, they're not continuing, they're accelerating. So there you have it. We have crashed over the cliff as a species and we're still hitting the accelerator. That's where we're at. Another headline, CBC Canada. Arctic, here we go again, could face abrupt climate threats due to permafrost thaw, says study. It's already happened. There's no could, there's no may, there's no might. It's already happening. More biosphere collapse headlines from abc.net.au, it's ABC Australia. Brazil's tropical Pantanal wetlands, the world's largest, are burning as massive fire engulfs them. The inferno in the world's largest tropical wetlands is the latest environmental disaster facing Brazil, coming after a mysterious oil spill that's affecting beaches in the Northeast. Everything's burning. When tropical wetlands burn, you know you're in trouble. Another headline from multiple sources. Nitrous oxide emissions set to rise in the Pacific Ocean. Why is that so critical? Because nitrous oxide is a greenhouse gas. It's 300 times more potent than CO2. We are truly free-falling toward creating our planet or altering our planet into a lifeless ball of scorched rock spinning through space. From news.agu.org, last Arctic ice refuge is disappearing. No surprise there. Climate models predict Arctic summers will soon be ice-free, perhaps as early as 2030. Consider that we were told not very long ago it would not happen sooner than 2100, then 2075, then 2050, now 2030. It will likely happen by next year. It should have happened already, but climate engineering is masking what's unfolding at the cost of ensuring that we all die, masking the polar meltdown, trying to keep business as usual, trying to hide the severity of what's unfolding from the public to the last possible moment at the cost of ensuring we have absolutely no chance. The planet, if it's not allowed to respond to the damage done to it, and climate engineering is completely thwarting that response, we have no chance, no chance on the current course. From AccuWeather.com, state of emergency declared in Venice as floodwaters approach record levels. All over the globe, going to get worse quickly. Another headline, fizz.org. Australians warned worst bushfires may be yet to come. Sydney is facing a, quote, catastrophic fire threat, authorities said last week as firefighters in eastern Australia raced to prepare for worsening conditions after ferocious, they call them brush fires, they're forest fires, devastated communities. Another headline on the Australia fires. This one from the UK Daily Mail. Quote, day of reckoning. Great wall of fire bears down on Sydney as chilling graphic shows how the worst conditions in Australia history, in Australian history, could destroy up to 100,000 homes. That was the headline from, again, the UK Daily Mail. Authorities say they can't save everyone. Total cataclysm happening in Australia. What else is happening there regarding the weather? That's a key core part of this equation. This headline from Down Under. Quote, today is the first day in history where it did not rain across the whole of Australia. From that report, there has been no rain today on mainland Australia for the first time in history. The unusual reading had the Bureau of Meteorology teams scratching their heads. The team can't comprehensively identify a day in our records where there hasn't been rain somewhere in continental Australia, the Bureau spokesman said. Australia takes weather from all directions, which makes it a very rare occurrence for rain-bearing clouds not to hit the mainland. Not rare, it's never happened before. Let's make that clear. Again, single greatest precipitation disrupting factor on the planet today is climate engineering, desiccant particles, sun-blocking particles that put too many condensation nuclei into the air that thwart evaporation, that reduces convection, which reduces wind overall, which reduces evaporation again. Single greatest drought-causing factor on the planet, climate engineering, period. So let's stop before I run out of time and summarize all of this. Overall, planet Earth is in total meltdown mode. This is inarguable for anyone who researches the data. And yet, what do we have U.S. mainstream media telling us and disinformation sources like the so-called Weather Channel? They're pushing their cold, cold, cold in these engineered cool-down zones in a very effective psychological operation that has, in the past and continues to today, convince large segments of the U.S. population that it can't be warm anywhere because it's cold outside my door. And even in those regions that are being cooled down, that is in between record highs that keep occurring when there's not enough moisture to chemically cool down. And these weather operations, climate engineering operations, are nothing short of weather and biological warfare, contaminating every breath we take. As the biosphere implodes, power structures will become ever more desperate and dangerous. That is happening now. But even at this late hour, we can collectively still make a difference. Those in power could not do what they do without the active or passive cooperation of so many in society. It's up to us to understand the power we have if we would simply utilize it. The only way forward in this epic battle for the greater good is to reach a critical mass of awareness in the population. There are reasons that this is true. We cannot fight this battle without an army of the awakened. If we can reach a critical mass, then military families, military members will understand what they're a part of. They will be able to see past the lies that they have been fed, that they're engaged in planetary saving operations in the case of climate engineering, which couldn't be further from the truth. We must reach a critical mass of awareness, and that effort will take all of us. Search the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, upper left column, for the activist suggestions link, so you can learn specifically what you can do to help us effectively and efficiently sound the alarm. In closing, consider this timeless quote from George Orwell, who said this, "In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. We are rapidly running out of time. I cannot state that with enough urgency. We must, all of us, make every single day count in our efforts to wake up family, friends, to start spot fires of awareness that we stoke until those spot fires of awareness expand and merge together into a bonfire that cannot be put out. Make your voice heard. Make every single day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org.